Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I'm excited that you decided to join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So on tonight, we're going to actually do the show a little differently just in light of the recent events that have unfolded over the past week here in the U.S. We're going to start off with discussing our hashtag moment for the month of July, which is Do the Impossible. Then during our segment titled Let's Be Real, I'll make my weekly confession, which will actually include my initial reactions to the events of last week. And then we're actually going to go straight into our main discussion titled The Cost of Compassion, which is actually based off of my most recent blog with the same title. And then we'll end the show with our dose of spiritual wellness. And then we'll have final greetings, and I look forward to seeing you all next week. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show, which include Do the Impossible, Hashtag Moment, Let's Be Real, Wellness and Faith, or anything else that may resonate with you while you're listening to the show. Just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You are also more than welcome to call into the show with questions or comments by dialing 347-850-1154. I also want to emphasize that in light of the most recent events and the topics we will be discussing tonight, that we certainly welcome all different points of view when it comes to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. However, it is also required that every single person that decides to call into the show is respectful of other viewpoints as well. While we may not agree on everything that we discuss, at the end of the day, our call is to love and to respect, and that call to love and to respect trumps any disagreement that we could or may possibly encounter. So if you would like that number again, it's 347-850-1154. If you need the number one more time, you can definitely look at the show website to be able to get the number again. So we're going to go right into our hashtag moment. The hashtag moment is a point in the show where I discuss a topic that's related to a monthly blog, and we post about it on social media with that particular hashtag. I'm a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My blog that I did for this particular segment titled Do the Impossible was published last week, so I encourage you to go and check it out and let me know what you think. So, again, the hashtag for the month of July is Do the Impossible. So feel free to post that particular hashtag, and you can tag me at Weary Consult. So in order to do the impossible, you must get rid of doubt. So when we look at even how doubt comes into our space, there are two sources. It can either come from others, or it can come from ourselves. And so we're looking at how doubt occurs from others. Basically, you'll have people who will come to you and they will not believe that you are able to accomplish a particular goal or a particular task because either one, they don't want to see you succeed because they have not been successful in what they've tried to done, so they're trying to hold you back because they just don't want to have now you moving forward and they have not been able to do the same. And then sometimes you will have people who will come to you with doubt, and their doubt is really based in concern and not wanting to see you fail. So they definitely want you to succeed, but with a particular task or their goal that you've now decided that you're going to undertake, they may have concerns that you will actually experience failure, and they don't want you to experience the disappointment and the frustration and anything else that comes with experiencing failure. So they're encouraging you not to move forward with your goal out of really a concern. And then you have doubts that can actually come internally from your own self. You know, so you're looking at the particular task at hand or particular mission or goal, and you're looking back over the times you have been successful, but you're also looking at the times where you have experienced failure. Or you're looking at the mission, you're like, oh, my goodness, this is the first time I've ever encountered something of this nature. I'm not sure if I'm equipped for the task. So doubt can actually come from your own self as well, even though you are actually the one who holds the dream and the vision to accomplish the task. You now can also be the one who holds the doubt that can hold you back as well. So the one thing I want to say about doubt, whether it comes from others or whether it's coming from yourself, is that doubt is normal. We're human beings. We have emotions. We have reactions to things that we experience, and we also have a memory. And so we can remember our successes as well as remembering our failures as well. And so doubt is not something that's abnormal. And the other thing I would like to actually throw in there is that doubt is not necessarily a bad thing. Doubt becomes a bad thing when it then immobilizes you. So if you have a particular task that you're trying to carry out, a particular vision, and, you know, initially when you're looking at what is set before you, if you're like, oh, my goodness, I'm not sure if I can do that, that's fine. Okay, that's a normal part of the process. However, the issue with doubt comes in with now the doubt preventing you from even attempting to try to overcome it, to attempting to even try to be successful in whatever that you're trying to do. So that's when doubt is now a negative thing, when it actually causes you to become stagnated. And so now to talk about some different ways or practical ways that you can overcome doubt and to prevent it from immobilizing you is to be a person that tries to make sure that you take risks. Now, of course, there's some individuals who are more likely to take risks as opposed to some of the rest of us. And I'm not saying that, okay, you need to go and bungee jump in order to get over doubt, or you need to go and do something that's just really radically outside of anything that you would ever do. That's not what I'm saying. There are other ways that you can take risks just by trying a new food, you know, just by going and being a part of a social group or a network group that you are not familiar with. You know, going out and trying to meet people outside of the normal circle of people that you tend to interact with. Those are small ways that you can take risks where now you're getting accustomed to whatever feelings may accompany that, including doubt, and then you learn to master those feelings and to still move forward and be successful. And so this, the most practical way to overcome doubt is to just keep being in the habit of trying things new that are new to you, and then finding and experiencing the success that comes out of taking on this new challenge. The other thing is to actually keep a note, mental note, or maybe actually writing things down or taking some notes on your smart device. You can actually keep a record of what it is that you experience as you're going through those things, so you can keep track of it. And so then now you can go back and reflect on it and be able to see, okay, now this is what I felt, this is what my action was as a result of this feeling. Now let me come up with a plan of what I'm going to do when I feel these particular emotions of doubt or of fear or anything else that may accompany doubt when we're trying to overcome something new. And so just by putting together a plan, even if that plan is like, okay, let me write out a declaration that I'm going to say to myself when I have these feelings of doubt and say, I will be successful or I will achieve such and such, or, you know, whatever model may be applicable to that particular situation, something just as simple as making a daily declaration can be really useful to help you overcome those feelings of doubt so that you can still go forward and pursue whatever your goal or your dream is. So when it comes to doing the impossible, we must make sure that we overcome doubt. All right, so now we're going to go into our next segment titled Let's Be Real. So during this segment, this is where I make weekly confessions, and I'm transparent, and I admit my mistakes, my shortcomings, but also I'm very honest about the successes that I've had and the progress and the things that I've been able to grow in as well. The purpose of this segment is to provide an example of what I believe we need more of from people of faith, and that is just simply people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that upon hearing about each of the events of last week from Alton Sterling being murdered to Philando Castile being murdered, and then with seeing the individual who came and disturbed the peaceful protest that was happening with the Black Lives Matter movement, and then having officers who were shot and killed and lost their lives, and then even with the civilians that were there that were harmed as well. And now you have an entire movement that is being marred by the act of an individual who was not even a part of the movement. It's just, it was really frustrating. I was also angry. I was hurt. I also had moments of feeling afraid for my own life as an African-American woman, as a Black woman here in the United States. I felt very disappointed as well. But then I also felt compelled even more to figure out what actions that I personally needed to do for real change to happen and for us to not continue to be each and every in this place just over and over again. And the reason why I felt anger is actually for several reasons. One, I felt anger because just the way that these two men have lost their lives, it was so unnecessary. It wasn't called for at all. And to be able to see that now two more families, I mean, at that point when the news first broke, is that you had two more families that have lost loved ones, and now they have to mourn their loss privately, but then also in a very public way as well. And then on top of that, there's other incidents that have happened that haven't even made the media as well. So although Philando Castile and Alto Sterling, those are the two names that are dominating the media at this time, there's tons of other instances that have happened and that have occurred that over the past months or over the past few years that haven't even gotten the media attention. And then I also experienced anger just with social media in particular, and then also even with the media itself, various media outlets and how they were covering these events, and just seeing the responses from individuals who just could not even understand the loss of life and how violent and unnecessary it made me really angry. Then I was also hurt because being able to look at all these events and to be able to relate from it from even a personal experience and having some knowledge of the statistics that are able to back up the systemic injustices that plague this country, and then to be able to see people who try to figure out a way to spin information and say that there really isn't a problem, it was just amazing. And even with individuals that I know, you know, people that I've used to work with, people that I, you know, have worshiped with, you know, at various other churches that I, you know, attended, to be able to see people that I've went to school with just expressing things that just were really shocking, it was hurtful to be able to know that my pain, that the pain of my fellow brothers and sisters, that the pain of these families who senselessly lost their loved ones was not enough to even have an expression of compassion. And then it also hurt to be able to see those individuals who continued on with their days and their weeks and didn't even try to address the issue at all, but they were able to go ahead and post about their family vacations, and they were able to post about what was going on at work and about who was in the Olympics and Olympic trials and who made whatever team recently, and, you know, being able to post pictures of their cats, you know, just to be able to see. And these are from my friends who on Facebook that I'm connected with, not Facebook friends, not necessarily personal friends, but just people that I'm connected with, you know, various social media outlets, to see how according to their social media accounts, didn't seem to be affected. Now, of course, we know on social media, people only post what they want you to know. So even though they may have been posting as normal, I really don't know what feelings they were going on personally. But I can also tell you that when Harambe, the gorilla, was killed in order to protect the life of a child, that there was just so much outrage over that. And even with the lion, I believe on last year, I can't think of the lion's name at this time, when that lion was killed, there was so much outrage, you know, about it. And so now you have the loss of human lives, and people are silent. And so it was really hurtful. I'm going to be honest again and say that I felt afraid. It was tough leaving my house and being able to see police officers and to be able to see, you know, individuals who are not of color, who are not minorities, and just wonder, just do you think the same things of these people that is resulting in a systemic issue to be able to continue? Now, let me clarify here, even with saying just having that fear of police officers. One, my caution, being cautious or being really careful when I'm around police officers is not something new. Being a black woman here in America, I've always had that knowledge that I need to be even more careful around police officers than people who are not of color. And I know that all police officers are not bad. I've had police officers who have served and done their job well who are in my family. I know police officers who do their jobs really well. And so when I say that I am very cautious and aware around police officers, it's not because of necessarily individual police officers where I believe that every single police officer is bad. However, there is a systemic issue in our country. And when you look at even how the laws are set up, and unfortunately I don't have enough time to even go through all of this on the show, but when you look at how the laws are set up in this land and how we govern things and how it affects not only just our judicial system, but even our educational system. And, you know, when you look at the other things, is that there's so many ripple effects, you know, that comes down to it. So police brutality is just one aspect of it. But police officers are put in place to be able to carry out the same laws that reinforce the systemic injustices that occur in our country. And so there are some police officers who are out there who do not do their job well, if not most of them. But there's enough of them where it's causing a problem for people to be able to lose their lives. And so for people to be able to not see the systemic issues and to be able to see how this is literally a life and death matter, and to even be afraid that, you know, to have those thoughts like, wow, like, what if it is me? What if I'm the next hashtag? You know, to have those moments like that is really, it's makes you afraid. And I can also say that I was disappointed. I was disappointed because I just expect so much more from my fellow human beings. You know, it's that I'm not a person that advocates in being colorblind, because if you can ignore my ethnicity, if you can ignore my race, and yes, race is a social construct, but race still matters. But if you can ignore the cultural aspects and who I am and be able to not even see that, there's a problem in that as well. You know, my culture, my ethnicity, my race, all of that plays into who I am as an individual and how I see things and how I experience the world. And so for you to be able to just ignore that is problematic as well. And so I was disappointed because I just expect so much more from my fellow brothers and sisters who are not of color to be able to see that this is a problem and to just be able to have compassion, even if you don't understand. It's like, yeah, you may have been able to have the privilege of not being aware of the systemic issues that are happening, but with social media, things are right there in your face on such a level that it has not been before in years past. And so maybe this is your first experience with being able to see, like, hey, maybe there's a problem, but just at least have compassion, even if you don't understand, you know? And so that's where the disappointment came in, with just not being able to have that. But then the last emotion, or one of the last emotions I can say that I felt, is that being compelled to figure out what else is in need. You know, of course, being a Christian, the first step I'm going to do is pray. It's to pray for wisdom, to pray for understanding, to pray for divine strategy to be able to know how to move forward, and then actually take that action and do something. You know, so that we can't just say pray and then not have the action that comes out of now having this new strength, this new revelation that comes in prayer. So it's time for just real change. It's time for things to happen. And so that's been a place that I've been in, you know, over the past week or so, is trying to see what I personally can do to be able to take more action, to do more than what I have already done in the past, to be able to make sure that we don't continue to lose lives senselessly, that we don't continue to lose lives of people of color, that we don't continue to lose lives of police officers who are in the line of duty, who are serving at a march, and now a person who has nothing to do with the movement comes and kills them. You know, like, it was just, it's just really overwhelming at some point. But, you know, those are my initial reactions. I can tell you that thankfully, due to praying, due to spending that time with God, I do have a lot more peace, and I have more hope that we can actually do something together, that we can come together as one nation, indivisible, under God, in order to ensure that there is truly liberty and justice for all. So I'm going to go ahead and take a brief commercial break at this point. Again, you are more than welcome to call into the show to be able to share your thoughts, to share your point of view, even if it does not agree with where I'm coming from. Again, this is a show that welcomes all points of view. I just ask that if you do call in with any particular point of view, that we are respectful of those who may not agree with your particular standpoint, and that we make sure that we still show love and respect in our comments that we will make on air. So we're going to go ahead and take a brief commercial break to go into our wellness moment with Sharia Farmer, who is the owner and licensed therapist of the RF Counseling and Wellness Center. And then after that commercial break, we will be right back.
Welcome to our next wellness moment. Today's wellness tip is taking a walk. Some things that are so simple but so refreshing to start a day, to end the evening, to spend time with friends, something as simple as taking a walk with each other can help do a lot of things to make sure that your emotional health, but also your physical health and wellness is taken care of. So when I say take a walk, this is something that you can consider for an exercise or you consider for leisure and emotional health. So for me, I do this about 3 to 5 times a week, where especially, well, when it's not so cold outside, because I'm so not into this heavy snow or weather when it's extremely cold. But when it's not so cold outside, I like to take walks, and sometimes very long walks. But I know that it helps me to rejuvenate, and it's also improving my actual physical health. So when it comes to wellness, one of the things or one of the tips for today is take a walk about 20 minutes a day if you can. 30 minutes is even better, but it actually will help you to create such things as physical wellness, where you are thinking about your sex drive, your health habits. It decreases things like the risk of breast cancer, diabetes, and also helps with pain control. So even if it's just 20 minutes, go ahead and get out there and take a walk. Everyone be well.
All right, welcome back to the show, to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host. And remember that you can interact with me during and even after the show with the various hashtags that are mentioned, or if there's anything else that truly resonates with you, just be sure to tag me at Weary Consult. You can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. And if you hear anything that sparks a question or even a comment, you're more than welcome to call into the show. The number to dial in to be on the show live is 347-850-1154. If you need that number again, you can go ahead and look at the show website. So on last week, I wrote a blog titled The Cost of Compassion, and I'm going to center our main discussion around the points presented in that blog. The link to the blog can be found on the show website in the slideshow, or in the summary of the radio show, rather. And if you would like to look at the blog and reference at a later date, definitely feel free to do so. You can also go to radiantsunshine.org to be able to see my blog and other blogs that are there that provide wellness tips as well. So I'm going to go ahead and begin this segment by actually reading the blog that I wrote titled The Cost of Compassion. So it begins with Luke 4 and 18. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Within the past week, the U.S. has celebrated Independence Day, repeatedly watched on various media outlets the deaths of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, who were senselessly murdered at the hands of police officers, viewed live footage of police officers and protesters being shot at and killed in the Black Lives Matter march, and witnessed the sin and hatred of racism polarize people based upon the pigmentation of their skin, despite declaring to be one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Compassion continues to come at a cost. For my fellow Black and Brown Americans, our emotions surrounding the most recent events extend far beyond sympathy, because so many of us have directly experienced the strangling chokeholds of racism, not only in encounters with the few police who do not uphold the oath that they have taken to protect and to serve, but also during walks through our own neighborhoods. during family gatherings with our loved ones, while trying to make an honest living, and even while taking us a respite to worship in our own sanctuary. And what compounds the hurt of being misunderstood and needing to once again declare that Black lives matter is that there are fellow Christians who are taking pieces of the gospel to condemn our anger and fear. The condemnation of our reaction to the reality of our existence as U.S. citizens is wrong because it does not align with biblical principles, nor does this align with the example that Jesus gave. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw the abandoned and rejected people of society. He turned over tables and used a whip when he saw the people being taken advantage of in the temple. And he even said himself that he was called to heal the brokenhearted. There is no way we, as Christians, the hurting, Christian or not, if we keep deciding to nitpick from the Bible the parts that make us feel comfortable and use those parts to hurt others and devalue their pain. To my fellow white brothers and sisters, it is time to remove the garment of privilege, exchange it for the cloak of injustice, and then to tear and destroy that same cloak of injustice so that no one will bear its burden again. It is time that you come bow and break bread with us at the table of inequality and share in our feast of fear so that together we can prepare a meal of peace and of a sound mind. It is time to bear the cross of racism, to endure the nails of hatred, so that we may all resurrect as the called body of Christ, comprised of many parts that look, sound, and behave differently. It is time to pay the cost of compassion if we are ever to be known for our love. And to my Christian brothers and sisters of all races, ethnicities, and creeds, we must be bold, accurate, and whole in declaring our faith. And then we must attach our works and demonstrate the commitment to justice that will show that we are true disciples of Jesus the Christ. So that is the blog that I wrote titled The Cost of Compassion. And I just want to go through now for the next few minutes and just break down just each of the pieces that are included in this particular writing. Again, you're more than welcome to call into the show live about any comments or questions about the blog or anything else that's been discussed on the show. The number to call is 347-850-1154. And so looking back just over the past week, just it was just truly ironic to me that just days before, one day before, we're celebrating Independence Day, celebrating independence of the country, and then to have these two events, to have the murders of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile to be shown on the media over and over and over again, and to be able to have people who really were trying to justify the murders of these two men. And then you go and you have a Black Lives Matter march, as I mentioned earlier into the show, and you have police officers who are killed. And let's be clear about this incident at this march, is that this was not a cause of the Black Lives Matter movement. This is not what Black Lives Matter stands for, nor did it condone the actions of this one individual who, according to police, also initially or also admitted, rather, that he was not a part of the Black Lives Movement and that he acted alone and wanted to carry out this act of injustice to the police officers. So want to make sure that we truly understand this point is that we cannot condemn a whole movement that has been peaceful, that is trying to seek equality based on the actions of one individual who's not even affiliated with the movement at all. And all of this just boiled down to us being able to see that we are not in a post-racial society. You know, even with having a president who is of color. There were so many individuals who, you know, went and they said that, you know, we're now a post-racial society because we have a Black president. But being able to elect a person of color into one position that is a pretty high-ranking position here, or the highest-ranking position when you look at how our country and our leadership is set up, it does not mean that hundreds of years of systemic injustice and hatred is now gone. And so we were able to see here that now, despite us saying that we are one, despite saying that this country was built for justice for every single person, is that that's not true. It wasn't true when the Constitution was written. The Constitution and everything else that was going on, when you look at that time period, you had black people who were actually enslaved. Women were not even women, white women or black women, were not even able to vote, you know, at that time. They did not have full rights as citizens. And so even at the time that this was written, even with being written with the best intentions, is that it wasn't completely true then. And now when you fast forward all these years later, we are seeing yet again is that racism is a deeply embedded sin that is here in our country that we really need to deal with. It's a cancerous residue that we need to cure if we want to ever move on. And so, but compassion does come at a cost. You know, even when you step outside the realm to talk about racial injustice, and let's say if you have a friend that comes to talk to you about a loss that occurred in their family, if a loved one passed away, compassion costs you something then. It costs your time to be able to listen to the loss that your friend or your loved one is experiencing. It takes time to be able to process with that with them. It takes you to be able to give a portion of your emotions, to give a portion of your heart, and hoping that giving a piece of you in that moment will help to bring some type of comfort, even though you can't change the event with their loved one not gone away. But even when you look at the racial tension that we have going on in this country, and there is racial tension going on all over the world, racism manifests itself in different ways in other countries. And so when you look at how racism plays out, even here in the United States, it's not the exact same as how it plays out in other countries. But at the end of the day, just standing up on behalf of people of color and to fight for justice with us, it's going to cost us something. And so even with looking at the events, you know, in the next paragraph I talk about how with people of color is that looking at the events is that we're able to empathize because we experience racism on every single day, you know, from going to our jobs, from, you know, being stopped at a traffic stop or, you know, even trying to go to the grocery store to walking down the street, you know, with trying to have family gatherings. There's so many issues or instances where we've encountered racism, and it's just not necessary. You know, even with, you know, having the incident that happened in Charleston, and here it is that you have an individual who came with the sole purpose to come and to murder people, as they said, and they prayed, and they had a Bible study. And so our emotions, our anger, our fear, you know, it comes from experience, is that either we ourselves have experienced all this, and for those of us who are still alive, some of us have family members who have been killed because of this deeply embedded systemic issue of racism that plagues our country. And even when it comes to police brutality is an issue for everyone. I don't know, you know, how much everyone knows when it comes to, you know, even knowing the statistics with it. There are some websites who, you know, and organizations who have gone through the task of trying to collect this because this is not a statistic that is kept by the federal government. It's how many people are murdered at the hands of police or, you know, but when you look at the numbers numerically, you have people from all races who are being killed by police. You have white people who are being killed by police. You have black people. You have Native Americans. You have Hispanic people. It's like everyone, you have so many people. Everyone, every race that's in this country has had, or race of people rather, has had some encounter with police brutality. And even on last year, there's one website, I can't recall the website right now, this particular moment, how I think there's about 1,100 lives that they've calculated. And numerically, most of those lives were actually white people. But when you look at the statistics and the representation of each race is that you see that at an alarmingly high rate that people of color, a higher percentage of people of color are being unfortunately experienced this police brutality that's going on, and they're being murdered. And so even if, you know, let's say for some reason you can't see the fact that race is a factor, a huge factor in police brutality, if you just look at the numbers of people that are being killed by the individuals who are called to protect and to serve, you would see that police brutality has to be addressed. This is an issue. It's not all police officers. It's not every single person that has gone and taken this oath. There are some awesome police officers out there on social media. The one thing I do really appreciate as well is that there have been some really great stories of some awesome police officers who are committed to really serving the community in which they are employed. And so you do see that. And so there are some officers, awesome police officers, who do their job well each and every single day. But for the few that don't, unfortunately, those few people, it results in the lives of people, and people losing their lives senselessly. And so when you look at it, it's just like, it's just something has to be done. It really has to be addressed. And the fact that we even have a question of the movement of Black Lives Matter, and to have people question that and to come back with the report that all lives matter. Yes, all lives matter, but all lives are not experiencing the injustice that Black people are experiencing here in this country and other minorities as well. Even Native Americans and Hispanics and those of Asian descent, you know, is that there's a serious issue here. And so if all lives truly do matter, then there shouldn't be an issue with this movement of Black Lives Matter. You know, one thing I've seen several articles that have gone on to go ahead and explain that how the two at the end of Black Lives Matter is understood, even though it is invisible. So really, it's Black Lives Matter too. And so, you know, even with people coming back with the All Lives Matter in response to Black Lives Matter, is that you're really doing an injustice to the movement, and you're doing an injustice to those of us who are experiencing these issues that are going on at just an alarmingly high rate. Even from, you know, people who are Christians, you know, from even Christian leaders who are coming out, you know, with declaring the All Lives Matter in good intentions, and really trying to work towards being agents of racial reconciliation and, you know, just restoring the peace that we need in this country, is that coming back with the retort, well, all lives matter, it really is not productive. And it really continues to cause a divide some individuals are working so hard to put together. And as Christians, when you even look at the example that Jesus gave, is that Jesus himself, he fought against injustice. Each time he saw a person that was rejected, the person that everybody else fought about, he had compassion on them. And you see countless stories of this within the Bible, is that he had compassion. So we should have compassion as well for those who are abandoned, who are rejected, who are the ones who are despised in this country and even throughout the world. And when he saw the injustice in the temple of people taken advantage of, he went and he turned over tables, and he used a whip. You have that account in the Bible. And I'm not necessarily saying that we need to go and get whips and get tables and to use physical violence, but there is a violence that we can take and use or being violent instead of violent, being valiant, and to advocate for those individuals who are experiencing these issues, who are at the risk of literally losing their lives simply because of the color of their skin. And even Jesus himself said that he was called for the brokenhearted. And there are so many people in this country, people of color, who are brokenhearted at this time. And there are people who, even who are not of color, who are experiencing brokenness. And to use the Bible to be able to devalue their hurt and their pain because you want to pick out pieces and parts that apply to whatever faulty argument that was trying to be presented is just wrong. It hurts people more. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be truthful. It's not what I'm saying at all. But if we're going to tell the truth, we must tell the whole truth. And that truth includes having compassion for those who are offended. It includes being committed to justice under any conditions that we see injustice being handled, and to not use pieces of the Bible, to take out pieces of the truth, because once you take out a piece of it, it's not no longer the whole truth. It actually is more closely aligned with a lie. So next, let's not take out pieces of truth that now become lies and try to use them to the value to hurt of individuals. And one of the most common verses that I've been seeing variations of that people are using is how we are all one body in Christ. We are all one, rather, in Christ, and that, you know, the scripture talks about how there's no Jew or Gentile. You know, it's like, yes, that's true. But even when you look at the body and saying that we're the body of Christ is not all eyeballs. The body of Christ is not all hands. The body of Christ is comprised of heads, is comprised of 2 feet, 2 hands, 10 fingers, 10 toes, a heart, a lung, a liver, and nerves, and so many other things, of skin and bones and flesh. But it's all different. When you look at a body, it's comprised of so many parts that look and sound and behave differently. So we can't go and just try to ignore the differences that actually makes us who we are, that actually helps us all to work together as that one body. And so it is far past time for us to really come together. And to my fellow white brothers and sisters, we need for you to let go of your privilege. We need for you to come and to join us in our injustice and our fear and the inequality that we experience, so that we can all come together, and together we can go and we can make this country experience the peace and the joy and the love that we should all have for each other, and to be able to have a better day where people are not literally afraid to lose their lives by simply going about their day-to-day. And so this climb of our show is actually coming to an end. And so if you would like to continue this discussion with me about the blog or anything else that was brought in the show, you can contact me on social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Weary Consult. You can also go to my website. You can send an email through my website page at sherryweary.com. That's sherryweary.com. And so as we go ahead and we close out our show, I want to give the doses of spiritual wellness. One, we have to understand that we are experiencing a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6 and 12 tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so as Christians, we have to know that this is a spiritual battle first. Even though the spiritual realm and the evil of Satan's plan to kill, steal, and destroy is being manifested through people, is being manifested through systems here on the earth, we have to first understand that this is a spiritual battle, so we need to then battle in the spirit with the power of God. So let's first have that understanding. It's a spiritual battle. Secondly, everything we do, say, and that we think, it must be rooted in love. We are called to love one another as ourselves. So let's first love ourselves as God loves us, and then give that same love fully and unconditionally to others. Thirdly, we must pursue and fight for justice, just as Jesus did. In Micah 6 and 8 in NIV, it says that he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And then number four, which is actually redundant, when is very personal, is we must love ourselves. And self-care is really crucial at this time. Take breaks from social media. Do things that you enjoy. Because if you do not take care of yourself and help yourself first, you will not be in a position to be able to help anyone else. So please love yourself. Well, that is our time for this evening. I look forward to speaking with you all next week. You can log on to blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness, and you'll be connected to the show. Remember, again, you can contact me on social media at Weary Consult at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also follow me on Periscope at Weary Consult as well. Find out all things Sherry Weary. You can go to my website, sherryweary.com. That's S-H-E-R-R-Y. WHERRY.com. And that is our show for this evening. And as always, until we meet again, my prayer is that you will be well, you will be whole, and that you will be set free.